as a sports card investor, how do you know that Topps and Panini are not going to start overprinting like crazy? It's a danger on all of our minds. So today we go direct to the source, bringing in Emily from Topps and Tracy from Panini to ask them that question, plus a whole lot more about their plans in the sports card hobby. My name is Jeff Wilson. By day, I invest in tech companies, and at night, I invest in sports cards. Join me on my journey to profit from the hobby we all love. Sports card investors, and welcome to another episode. And today we're going to tackle a really important topic. We're going to tackle the topic of overprinting, because as a sports card investor, one concern that you should have and that I have is that we don't want to get back into the junk wax era again. We don't want to get into an era where supply starts to go crazy because the printing presses are running and cards are no longer scarce. And once that happens, the moment that starts to happen, then prices begin to fall because supply floods the market. And if demand starts to wane at any point in time, like what happened in the early 1990s, then you could have the entire market crash. That is the death scenario for sports card investing. Now, I'll be very honest with you. I do not think we are anywhere close to that happening. If you look at the print runs of cards today, they still pale in comparison to the print runs of what was being printed in the late 1980s and the early 1990s. I still think we've got a really good run in front of us, and I still think demand's going to continue to build, and there's still enough scarcity with modern day products right now that I think they're going to hold their value for some time to come. So I'm not concerned about that happening right now, but it does need to remain on our minds. And if there's anyone who can stop it, or really the people in control of the entire thing, are Panini for basketball and football and Topps for baseball. So I said, let's go right to the source and let's ask them, is this on their minds? And what are they doing to prevent it? I did this during the Virtual Sports Card Con 2020. We brought in great guests throughout that, and two of the best guests that appeared were Emily Kless from Topps and Tracy Hackler from Panini. And they gave great interviews. And this is not all we talked about. We talked about what Topps' future plans were, what Panini's future plans were, how they were reacting to the, you know, how hot the hobby was. We talked about Topps Project 2020 and Topps, you know, how they're getting caught up on the shipping delays and what that has been like. We talked about on Panini side, we talked about the new Chronicles release that just came out. So there was a lot of great ground to cover, but I did ask the question about overprinting because I felt that that was a very important question to ask both of them as well. It was on my mind and it might be on your mind as well. So I want to replay for you both of those interviews back-to-back that took place during the Virtual Sports Card Con, because I thought they were great interviews. And I want to give a very special thanks to Emily and to Tracy for coming on the show, because I thought both of them did a wonderful job, did great jobs representing their companies. And they were both very honest and open to answering whatever questions I threw at them. So thank you, Emily and Tracy. Pleasure having both of them on the show. Without further ado, let's welcome Emily and Tracy back via replay here for the interviews from the Virtual Sports Card Con 2020.
Hey, I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me on. And I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
I'm looking forward to it as well. You know, Panini obviously is at the absolute center of the hobby. You guys have the hottest products right now in the hobby, it seems. And as a big, you know, collector and investor myself, I love Panini products. Certainly a big fan. You know, the hobby, obviously, as you know, has been on absolute fire. It's been growing like crazy. What has that been like for Panini?
It's been kind of, in a sense, it's been surreal, because so many people right now are going through some really difficult times with the pandemic. And, you know, a lot of our friends, family, loved ones have been impacted by it. But our market is hotter than it's ever been. And so it's a little bit surrealistic when you think about it, but I think it really speaks to this rabid passion that exists for sports and for pieces of people's favorite players. And it also speaks to the overall hunger that we have for sports being back. And then I think it's also a testament to what our product development teams, our design teams have been able to put together, one compelling product after another. Whether you're talking about NBA, obviously is reaching new heights, and on the NFL side as well. So we're on a real roll right now, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun to watch. And I'm going to make a personal request tonight to your design team, which is those Color Blast Prism Draft Picks basketball cards. You guys had those Color Blast cards in Prism Draft Picks this year. They were beautiful cards. I wanted them in the main prism. They weren't in the main prism. Could we see those maybe perhaps in other prism lines in the future?
I think most definitely. I saw the new Color Blasts that were in Spectra basketball, and those things are just beautiful. I mean, when you talk about sports cards, words like beautiful or captivating or those aren't words typically associated with grown men on basketball cards. But man, you look at those Color Blast cards and they are out of this world. So I think definitely, I thought they would be in prism myself because that's kind of where they've been on the baseball side and also on the college draft pick side. But I was just happy that we got them in Spectra, and they're so tough. And that's what's really enjoyable about the market right now is that, yeah, everybody wants the Zion Auto Mem or the Ja RPA or the Joe Burrow limited to 10 with an autograph. But cards like Color Blast really show how scarcity plus just drop-dead good-looking cards, what that can do for the market as well.
Yeah, that's been a big lesson learned over the last several months. I think a lot of sports card collectors and investors, when there were no sports, and then people, when the Jordan documentary came about, and then people started learning and finding out about all of these interesting Jordan inserts from all of these 1990 sets, which a lot of them hadn't really, you know, caught on a whole lot or had a lot of exposure amongst investors and collectors. But then as people started digging into the library of Jordan cards and finding these really unique inserts, the popularity of inserts really started to rise. And what's interesting is it's carried over to modern sets. And, you know, we saw it in Prism Mosaic, which came out a few months ago and has some really interesting inserts in it, like the Jam Masters and the Stained Glass. And so I think people are becoming, you know, the short print type inserts are starting to become, you know, much more valuable and much more chase card centric. And the Color Blast ones are certainly that as well. So
That's a great point. That's a great point, Jeff, because you look at Mosaic, a product that really, I mean, that was the last product that we were able to get out on the market prior to the lockdown and stay at home orders were issued in Texas. And I didn't even know we were going to try to get that out, but it hit retail first. And I started seeing the breaks on IG or on social and was just blown away by some of the designs. And it just really shows what you can do with a technology like Optichrome, the bright colors, and then the mosaic pattern that's kind of wildly different from the regular prism. It really makes for a lot of inserts that are valuable with nothing more than just an awesome design and color scheme. Like, I didn't really know when there was one of our customer service people was asking about the silvers a few years ago. And I'm like, what are you talking about, the prisms? And he goes, yeah, the silvers. And so that the hobby does a really good job of kind of coming together, especially on things like nomenclature of how to identify things. So I think you'll see a similar shift on Mosaic, because you got to remember Mosaic as recently as its debut 2 years ago was a hard sell. We thought we made too much of it 2 years ago, and it was but once it caught traction and this year it kind of went to another level, I think you'll see that nomenclature kind of come in line with the other Prism products.
Absolutely. And do we have audio now or do I need to switch? We have audio. Okay. The viewers lost the audio. You and I could hear each other. My last question was about the fact that there are, you know, mosaics. And I was filing a complaint with Tracy about the naming convention. Cause I was complaining, you know, back in 2012 and 2013, there were prisms and that would drive me crazy. And then it became Prism Silver, but now we got mosaics again. And within my Market Movers data tool, where we attempt to track the sales of all of these different variations of mosaic cards, having a mosaic is a real pain in the butt to try to figure that thing out, you know, within looking at all the sales charts and graphs to build the Market Mover software. Anyway.
Be surprised if you see like a mosaic silvers or something to.
Well, and there are mosaic silvers too, but we just need another. Ooh. We need another name for the mosaic. We'll come up with one. We'll work together, Tracy. Let's take some suggestions in the chat. Actually, in the YouTube chat, let's tell Tracy, let's get Panini to rename the mosaic to something else next year. Let's tell Tracy in the YouTube chat what that should be. Tracy, give me any highlights of what collectors and investors can look forward to from Panini over the next year.
You know, I think a lot of the continued momentum will you'll keep seeing that. I mean, the great thing about what we do in sports cards, as you well know, and all the viewers know, is that a lot of our success is based every year on what new rookie crops are coming through, what second, third, fourth year players break out. And the beautiful thing is that we've never had a more talented crop of NBA players, NFL players. And so you see a lot of these folks, all they need to get is an opportunity on the field or on the court, and they shine. And that leads to immediate gains, in the sports card marketplace. So I think we obviously have a really good thing going with the Optichrome technology products. I think we've probably done about as much as we can do with it, although our teams are always surprising. One of the things that we were talking about earlier was those 90s feeling inserts that are really tough but really gorgeous to look at, and I think there's more that can be done with that type of stuff. And I think we'll just continue to do our best to build valuable products across all price points, starting with stuff like Hoops and Score and moving on up to products like Flawless and NT. But I think a lot of our success year in and year out is based on who are the rookies and what are they doing once they get the opportunity.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I know one challenge that I'm sure you have at Panini, and I'm sure there's lots of conversations that take place about this every day, is how do you balance the rising demand for sports cards with the fact that you don't want to lead us down the path to the junk wax era, right? We had a real problem in the late 80s and early 90s where sports cards were printed on demand, and therefore the supply became so big that they lost any type of, you know, long-term value. And there's a lot of folks who watch the show who will point out, you know, and I pointed out on my shows that, you know, we are seeing the print runs increase year over year, which they have to because demand's going up. And I know it's a double-edged sword because people will complain when they go to Walmart and they're sold out of everything. But on the other hand, they'll also complain when they see the PSA population counts getting too high on any card. How do you balance all of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. It can be a delicate.
No, we lost him right at the key question.
I got you.
We've got you back. We got you back. Good. You were just starting. I thought you were, Tracy, running away from my print run question.
No. Never. No, it's a great question. And it absolutely is a delicate balance. The thing I'll say about our product development teams across all sports, NBA, NFL specifically, is we have individuals on those product development teams who were around back in that junk wax era, and they've been in the trading card game for, I mean, combined, we probably have thousands of years of experience in the business. So we are very cognizant of not overproducing, and it's an interesting debate, right, or argument, because on one side of the coin, you don't want to make too much, but on the other side, we're hearing from everyone that they can't get enough or they can't find it. So you know, I don't know how much higher we can go and still meet enough demand. But it is something we take very seriously. And it's, look, we're in the business of taking care of the consumers and not producing a product that will lose value immediately because there's so much of it. So I don't think we're in danger of getting to that point. But it is interesting that we may be in an unprecedented time in terms of just volume of people in the industry, from investors to just fans. It's unlike anything we've seen, really unprecedented. So if we can continue to kind of do our job and be responsible, but also be cognizant of that we need to make enough to get in hands, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I know it's a difficult balancing act, and we appreciate Panini's commitment to being responsible on that issue. Because, you know, as a sports card investor, obviously, you know, we want the population to remain below the demand level, right? We want the supply to remain below demand. And I know that's a difficult balance each and every year. I don't envy your position for making those kind of decisions, but I'm glad you're doing it with a lot of forethought and a lot of respect. And I've talked to some other folks at Panini as well, leadership folks at Panini, who've kind of echoed the same sentiment. Like, it's something that's very much on your minds because a lot of you live through that era and don't want to see that occur again.
Absolutely. No, it's something that obviously it's our bread and butter, and it means everything to us, and taking care of the end consumers is number one.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. What about, I want to ask you about soccer cards, because what did, you know, obviously basketball is, you know, absolutely exploding. Football has been hot as well, but has the rise of soccer cards surprised you, and what do you see there going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it really has surprised me. I never really had a real good idea of how traditional North American trading card products would resonate with what is often an international collector base for soccer. Traditionally, soccer collectors for decades have been accustomed to the Panini sticker collections. It's a finite end every year. It's a affordable product. You have the album, you get the stickers, you fill it up, and you're done. No autographs, no memorabilia, none of those things. So there was a learning curve initially, but I think when we released that first Prizm World Cup product, really with some throwback nuances in terms of autographs, I think were one every other box, and it just went crazy. And so I think that was the first sign that there was a definitive traditional trading card audience out there. And it didn't take us long before we had flawless soccer. And then fast forward a few years, another World Cup product. It didn't hurt that it was Prizm, obviously. And then our most recent products, Immaculate Soccer, Gold Standard Soccer, Obsidian Soccer, have been really well received. And the thing that I think has been most surprising is just how popular they've been in China. I mean, those products, they're just like, just as hot as the NBA products over there. That was surprising to me. I don't know that it surprised everybody in our company, but I certainly was blown away by it because I felt like Immaculate Soccer might struggle, but boy, could I not have been more incorrect on that. And then we just released, today, in fact, the first ever Impeccable Soccer product for the Premier League launched. And we had a small number of boxes on the PaniniAmerica.net store, and they sold in like 2 minutes. Sure. Obviously, a lot of NBA and NFL collectors know the Impeccable brand, know what that means. And so I think it, one of the things to me that illustrates soccer is I had a guy that I work with, David Sharp. He goes, have you seen what these Mason Greenwood cards are doing? And I texted back, who's Mason Greenwood? Like, I felt like I should have known who he was. Well, he's this 18-year-old goal-scoring phenom from the UK, and his regular cards in Chronicle Soccer, I mean, they're going for $200, $300. And I was like, wow. So anyway, that it just shows you that the demand, once again, is there. We're trying to feed it, obviously, without alienating the value and the integrity of those products. And so that long-winded answer is, yes, I've personally been a little surprised by how popular it's been. I appreciate the time. Appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate what you guys are doing. And have a great rest of the weekend. And look forward to being on again soon.
Thank you. Absolutely. Take care. All right. I'm extremely excited to be being joined by Emily Kless of the Topps Company. Topps, as everybody knows, is the name in the baseball card world and has been the name in the baseball card world for a very long time, but is also the name in other sports as well, including soccer. We're going to talk a little bit about that today as well. So let's see. Can we go ahead and get Emily on here? And there she is. Hi, Emily.
Here
welcome
I
to
am.
Welcome to the Virtual 2020.
Wow, this is amazing. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for this amazing idea. I know that so many people would love to be at the National this weekend, but this is certainly the next best thing, right? Taking it virtual and having the virtual. So thank you again for having me on. This is really cool, really unique. I was watching Joe up before. He has some amazing cards in his collection.
He does. And would you believe it, actually? I mean, we saw, you know, Joe brought, I think, a couple hundred cards to show us tonight. Would you believe that Joe has almost 1 million cards on eBay? Almost 1 million cards on eBay for sale.
That is incredible. Amazing. And I know he was Dealer of the Year as well. So, you know, congrats to him. But yeah, those were just some beautiful, beautiful cards. So that was really neat to see.
Absolutely. Including, by the way, a lot of great Topps cards. And this last year has been obviously just a crazy year with how much interest there's been in card collecting. What are you seeing at the Topps Company?
Absolutely. You know, even over the past couple of months, it's been like wildfire. Everyone, you know, of course, has been home from quarantine, and we're all in the beginning and middle of March or so, kind of looking around, all right, what do I do now, right? We're all home with all this time. And so many people actually broke out their old, you know, shoe boxes of baseball cards and kind of, you know, had this resurgence and rekindled their interest in the hobby, which was really cool. And I think that Topps too was a big player in being able to just connect fans to the game and, you know, bridge the connection between fans and collectors and sports when we had a world that had no sports in it for a couple of months. So I think that Topps was able to just, you know, be that that comforting, nostalgic kind of feeling for a lot of people. And it's just been, you know, we've been on fire this year, which is amazing. Start kicking off the year with our million card rip party, you know, which feels like forever ago at this point, Jeff. But yeah, it's been a great year, and our collectors have, of course, been amazing. And even though we would have loved to see a lot of you in person this weekend at the National, it's still fun to be able to be part of the virtual.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about the year ahead? Like, do you think this momentum is going to keep going? What does Topps have in store for us in the year to come?
Absolutely. I think it's only helped the momentum. And now that we actually have baseball back, which is the best thing that I could have ever had hoped for over the past couple of months. But yeah, now that we have baseball back, there's just an interest because now we're seeing it on our screens again. So, of course, our Topps Now cards are our big hit. The Dr. Fauci card.
We got to talk about that, right? That was crazy.
Of course. That was crazy. 51,512 was the print run on that one. Just unbelievable. I mean, we were excited to put that card out, but we were blown away by the enthusiasm around it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was surprised to see it as well, but that was awesome. And speaking of cards that have been hot this last year, how about Topps Project 2020? Because that was absolutely the set of, you know, probably maybe the first half of this year. The story behind Topps Project 2020 was really, really cool.
Absolutely. You know, the timing couldn't have been better. Just coincidentally, it kind of launched around when quarantine happened and the baseball season was canceled. And so all of a sudden, Project 2020 gave something new for us to expect every day when there was really nothing new to, you know, to look forward to. So it was really cool to get us past the couple of months. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of different ways to collect 2020, which is really interesting too, whether you're collecting all of the cards of a single artist or collecting the player itself. There's a lot of different ways that I think collectors are going about that one. So that's really fun to watch and, you know, just see the reactions to each cards that drop every day.
Yeah, for sure. Was there a favorite card from Topps Project 2020 or a favorite artist or anything of that nature that that you've seen so far?
You know, I love Sophia Chang's work. She has just been really cool to have. Of course, the only female artist, so gotta throw some girl power her way. But, you know, just the way that she kind of brings those cards to life in such a fun, imaginative way, I think her stuff is really cool. And also Tyson Beck. He is, you know, one of our designers on Topps Fire, so I'm familiar with his work, and he just churns out unbelievable stuff. So to see him kind of do his thing with the baseball cards that you've previously seen before, that was really cool from Tyson Beck. So, yeah. But you know, there's no bad card out there. I think it's cool depending on, like I said, how you choose to collect it, what you think about the artwork. There's something for everyone in Project 2020, which has been, it's been fun to watch everyone start collecting it.
Absolutely. And I know for a little while with the huge amount of orders you guys were getting and also, you know, factories being shut down around the globe, it had put you guys a little bit behind. Are you getting caught back up now on shipments, or how's that looking?
We are, you know, and definitely a lot of people have become rightfully so impatient because they want those beautiful looking baseball cards, and I don't blame them, but happy to say that we're starting to get caught back up. We actually are putting out a shipping update for the number card that we're officially shipping every Thursday around 5 p.m. from the Topps Twitter account. So if you are a Project 2020 collector and you want to see what number we're shipping that week, I believe we were up to 100-something or 100 or so, you know, as of today. So slowly getting caught back up. And again, appreciate everyone's patience there. I'm waiting on mine too. So we're all in the same boat.
Me too. But that's okay. I'm sure they're coming. They're going to be wonderful when they get here.
They definitely will be.
So as a sports card investor, I've got to ask you this question because it's on my mind. It's on the mind of, I'm sure, a lot of people watching the show. It's wonderful that the hobby has been, you know, going the way it has been. There's been a lot of money to be made for people who have, you know, big collections of baseball cards and have been buying, you know, cards of hot players over the last few years. But at the same time, everybody is noticing that, you know, the print runs are going up each year. And this is true not just with what Topps is producing, but this is true with what, you know, other manufacturers in the hobby are creating as well. I know the balancing act must be tough because demand is rising and you want to, you know, provide the supply to meet your customers' demands. But on the other side, we all remember what happened back in the late 80s and early 90s. So how do you balance that as Topps? What's the philosophy there?
Absolutely. You know, the demand is there, which is healthy, and it's a great thing to see. But yeah, we're definitely very aware of oversaturating the market. And so I think that's one thing that our supply team does really well, and our brand manager team, they keep such a great pulse on the market itself and the secondary market and you know, who's hungry for what out there, and really understanding the products that resonate with a lot of our collectors. I think that, you know, those guys do that extremely well. And so, you know, they manage demands based on that. But you know, all of our print runs, you know, production hasn't gone up a crazy amount. I think that people are just so much more aware, and they've become popular again that, you know, people are talking about them a lot more, which also, you know, makes it seem like they're all over, which is a great thing. The Fauci card might be all over, but
That one's really all over.
But yeah, as far as our, you know, our traditional trading card products, you know, we're staying true to who we are. And again, keeping very aware of oversaturating the market.
Good. Well, I appreciate that. And as a sports card investor, we all appreciate that. So your team, it sounds like you guys actually kind of keep an eye on the secondary market. So I guess, is it a win for Topps if, you know, when cards go out and people collect them, if they have the opportunity to appreciate on the secondary market beyond the initial sale?
Sure, absolutely. It's in the enthusiasm that people have around certain cards and seeing them then go and still want to find them, even if they, you know, miss the boat the first time, that's what's encouraging for us. And, you know, a lot of us are collectors as well. So, you know, we're on the secondary market and checking out what's popular, what's hot. Like I said, you know, we're collectors, we're fans at top. So, you know, it's not just a bunch of robots producing a bunch of cards. There's a lot of people who care a lot about the products we make and the cards that go out there. So, yeah, but, you know, seeing the demand for it is definitely encouraging. Means people are out there wanting the cards, and that's a beautiful thing.
And speaking of demand, soccer cards have been really hot recently. I know Topps has a big role in the soccer card markets. Have you been surprised by the growth there, and what can we expect in the future from Topps with soccer cards?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been fantastic. You know, even international soccer was one of the first sports that came back over the past couple of months, right? So I think everyone kind of found themselves appreciating soccer a bit more. And, you know, Bundesliga Chrome recently came out. That was a big one for us. And you have a lot of young guys, too, you know, that are kind of making waves internationally. And it's fun to see that, you know, soccer products are finally getting a little more respect, put a little more respect on their name. There's a lot of great players out there. And of course, you know, being able to have the autographs of them as well. And our UK team is doing a phenomenal job as well about, you know, making sure that everyone keeps soccer top of mind. So it's been great to see.
Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Now, I'm curious, I know obviously Topps has exclusive license with MLB and Topps does a lot of soccer. You guys have been in the past a big part of basketball, a big part of football. Is there any talk about Topps getting back into basketball and football products again?
I wouldn't necessarily say there's talk about it, but it's never off the table, right? As a business, you're always looking to expand, and you're always looking to for the next big thing and to be a part of what you can be a part of. And because of our history with those sports, it's, you know, natural to want to have those cards again. Personally, I would love some NBA bubble cards. I think that we could have done something really cool and fun with that. But yeah, you know, I know basketball is back tonight even, so that's exciting. You know, like I said, we're all fans. So to be able to root for your teams and then see their cards getting designed in the office, that's a cool thing, no matter what sport it is. So again, always looking to expand the business. That kind of thought process is just never off the table.
What's that design process like? Like when you know, every year you come out with so many different new sets. What's that process like of creating those cards?
Yeah, I give our design team an immense amount of credit because at the end of the day, it's a work of art that you're holding. It really is. And they put such thought into everything that they design. You know, I say this often, but one of my favorites, absolute favorites, is Triple Threads, because I think that's where the design team really shines, in being able to design around the relics or design for the relics and put really unique words and phrases and nicknames into the card. I think that's where they shine a lot. But, you know, coming up soon, we're going to be within the next couple of weeks, probably we'll be, you know, giving you guys a first look at 2021 base. And I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but a lot of people are going to really like how it looks. So I'm excited to get that on our top social media accounts. That'll be coming up in the next few weeks here.
Good. We're going to keep an eye out for that for sure. That's awesome. Very, very cool. And I think, Emily, you were gracious enough to have a little something for our audience that we can give away tonight.
I do. I've got Series 2 for you right here. I will let you give this away however you choose. I'm sorry, I got my ring lighting.
No, that's awesome.
But yeah, Series 2. Obviously, Robert's got his rookie card, right? Luis Robert's got his rookie card in here.
Sure.
We've got our Celebration of the Decades ticket in here, which is a really unique event. For those who may not know, it's a golden-like card that is in Series 1 and Series 2. And it gives you and a guest a chance to head out to Vegas for a top Celebration of the Decades party. So that'll be a really fun one. We actually saw Celebration of the Decades ticket pop up during the RIP party. So that was really cool for Series 1, but it's also in Series 2. And Mike Trout is our player of the decade in Series 2. We're celebrating all the decades of Topps, and he's got a really unique insert set in here. So definitely giving this away, you know, as a thank you for having me on and having Topps on. And hopefully, I can't see the comments here, but hopefully, you know, everyone's enjoying and enjoying their Topps products.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed those interviews with Emily and Tracy. I thought those were really, really insightful, and I really appreciated both of them being honest and answering the questions with such, you know, just not hiding from the issues, but taking the issues head on. I thought that was really wonderful. And hopefully, things will be as they said, and their teams will continue to be very mindful of print runs and make sure that they protect the hobby for us for the long term, because that's certainly what all of us need. All right, folks, I want to remind you, we are down to our final couple of days of the coupon code virtual, still giving you 20% off your Market Movers subscription. This code is going to run out. Let's see. This code is running out Sunday. So you've only got a few days left. Please take advantage of it. Go to sportscardinvestor.com and click on Market Movers in the main menu bar to learn more about our Market Movers data platform and the collection tracking features it now has, which are incredible. And then use promo code virtual for 20% off your first payment, whether you're going to pay monthly or annually. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. I'll see you back in a couple of days with my next episode. Take care.